Hello and welcome to Soulful Valley, the podcast for people who want to improve their quality of life through caring about their mental, emotional and spiritual well-being. I'm your host, Katie Carey, and I will be sharing wisdom and ideas from myself and some expert authors, coaches and energy healers that could be just what you need to hear to transform your life today. Today's guest is Dr. Nikki, also known as the Female Money Doctor. She is the only doctor to be featured in the top 25 Feedspot list of personal finance blogs in the UK. With over 10 years of experience as an NHS doctor and women's health specialist, she sees the impact poor money management skills have on the mental health of her patients and colleagues and is on a mission to change that. She believes that we cannot be truly healthy while a money nightmare is going on in the background. She has trained as a money coach and now helps women from all over the world to improve their mental health and well-being through getting organised with their finances and building wealth for the future they truly deserve. Wealthy women will change the world, and she is playing her unique part in making it happen through her award-winning blog, thefemalemoneydoctor.com. When she's not making money magic, she's travelling around the world, enjoying wine and hanging out with her gorgeous fiancé, Tom. Good afternoon, Dr. Nikki Ramskill. Also known as the Female Money Doctor.
Yes.
Now, I think I came across you, Nikki, in Denise Duffield Thomas's group, the Money Bootcamp.
Yeah, possibly.
That's the only place I can see we're both in the same place.
Yes.
And somehow I landed on your podcast, which I just found it to be awesome. I loved it straight away. So I binged on it straight away. I'm probably your biggest fan. And then I found your Facebook group, which is equally as amazing. So thank you for all that you do in there.
Thank you.
What I'd love to know is, where did this start for you? How did you end up in the internet space coaching people about money?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it seems a bit weird, doesn't it? Like a doctor's kind of like talking about this. But for me, when I first realized that my money situation was in a bad place, was when I was in my, like, literally as I turned 30, I went for a trip around the world, which was something I'd always wanted to do since I was about 13 years old, something like that. I'd wanted to do it, and it finally got to do it at the age of 30. And it's in those moments of quiet time where I was sitting down looking at my finances and thinking, right, I'm planning ahead for the next like hostel that I've got to book or whatever it is, and thinking, wow, I'm using my credit card a lot here. I had savings, but I also had a lot of debt and things that I was still servicing, still paying off. And I had this kind of epiphany where it was a bit like, when you go home, you really got to sort this out, because I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to afford my mortgage when I got home. I was I finished my trip, and then within a week I was working. I was stressing out the last few weeks of my trip to make sure that I had work lined up. And that's not really a way you want to finish your 5 months traveling, really. But that was the reality that I was in. And then I'd made a bit of a career shift. So I went from obstetrics and gynecology, which is a really, really stressful job, into becoming a GP, which is still very stressful, just in a different way. And I knew I wanted to do something. I knew I wanted to have a blog or something. I had loads of creativity, loads of ideas. I needed to get it out. And then I realized that the patients I was seeing and my colleagues had very similar issues to what I had faced when I was out on my trip, and I realized how much debt I was in, and all these other horrible realizations. And that's the point where I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a blog about money. And that's where it started from. I literally started writing about my experiences and how I was getting out of debt and how I was monitoring things. And then, yeah, it just grew from there, really. It's been brilliant. It's been absolutely amazing three and a bit years now.
It is amazing. I'm so glad you did that. And what do you think about the impact that money has on mental health? I used to run a mental health charity myself, so I've seen a lot of the impacts around money and people struggling. So how has that been for you? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was Exactly. I think that leads on really, really well because when I was seeing patients in, say, A&E, for example, and I'd say to them, right, okay, you need to have 6 weeks off because you've got broken leg, you need to repair it, or you've got ligament damage, you've got these crutches, you're going to have to be off. They just go pale. And you can just see that anxiety just suddenly appear on their face. Suddenly, especially if they're working for themselves or they're working in a 0 hours contract, it's that realization of, I have no money now for the next 6 weeks because I can't earn money. Or I can't retire. I've seen people, I can't retire yet. And they're in their 60s and they've just had a heart attack. And they're still working because they can't afford to retire. And it's that anxiety, it's that sleepless nights, it's the worry, you know, it's all of that. And I know because I was there myself. I know what that feels like. That
and I've been there too. I've been in jobs that I've stayed in because of money, and couldn't see further than what was going on in my life at that time.
Exactly.
So you find yourself in a space that you can't sometimes get out of, don't you? Doing things
you
that don't feel good. Yeah,
absolutely. Feel trapped. It's depressing. Everything makes you angry. You know, and it can lead to depression, but equally, depression can also lead to money problems. It's one of those vicious circles. You know, other mental health problems like bipolar disorder definitely can lead to money problems, especially when you're having a hyper moment and you're going out there spending money like you're, you know, the next millionaire. It all is interlinked, and that's why I think as a doctor it's really important to understand this, because a lot of the things that I'm asking people to do, you know, go to the chemist, buy this and this, or here's a prescription, four different items on it, some people can't afford that. They can't afford to, you know, those four items.
I can remember times actually avoiding to go to the doctors because I didn't have the money for a prescription. So
exactly, yeah, there's that sort of stuff. But then even people that do have the money for the prescription won't necessarily have the money to then pay a psychiatrist a couple of times a month. You know, they'll then put themselves on a waiting list, which could be a year, 18 months before you actually seen by somebody to help you. So actually it has a really big impact on our health, not just the obvious, but all these other things as well. You know, we have to pay for our dentists, we have to pay for our opticians, and these are the things that people tend to just neglect because, well, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, and I see that around me quite often with a lot of people. So do you think enough people understand how much their mindset around money is affecting their relationships, their health in general?
I think it depends on how open you are to it. I mean, some people will get it and they'll understand, okay, yeah, I've got these money problems and this is what's happening. But actually, I think sometimes when you're in it and all you can see is your immediate surroundings and your situation, you can't actually take a step back and think, oh, okay, there is a way out of this. So, you know, I've literally just been having a 15-minute session with somebody who is in debt and there was a really obvious way out of it. But I could see that because I was distanced from it. I could see it from a bird's eye perspective. And I said, well, instead of doing that, why don't you do this instead? Oh, I'd never thought of that. So I think for some people, when it comes to their own mental health, or when it comes to their own worries and stress around money, they don't necessarily link them because it's so close to you. Sometimes it does take a little bit of distance and somebody else.
And that's why it's important. Some of the tools that I use, EFT and Reiki and mindfulness, are all quite helpful in calming you down so that you can see those solutions, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So something I found quite interesting that you do is money archetypes. Can you explain a bit about money archetypes for our audience?
Yeah, I love the money archetypes. So actually the whole title is The Sacred Money Archetypes, and it's by a woman called Kendall Summerhall, and she now teaches other coaches how to basically help other people using it. And there are 8 different archetypes. So the 8 different archetypes are all very individual. They all manage money and life in their own way. None of them are good, none of them are bad. They all do their own thing. And what happens is when you do your quiz, you get a score for each of them, and the top 3 that you get are the ones that have the most impact on how you do money and how you do life. The ones at the bottom have the least impact, and you can use it in all sorts of ways, but I find that it's really helpful in terms of navigating how to manage your money. So if you, let's say for example, you are a natural spender, so the romantic, for example, is a natural spending archetype. They'd spend because they deserve it. They spend because it, you know, they like to feel good, they like their surroundings to look good, they just love life like that. But the problem is then when they overspend, because they don't like being told no, they get themselves into debt. So there's no point in saying to Yeah, there we go. So a lot of people will fall in that category. So when you say to a romantic, right, okay, you need to now use this spreadsheet in order to manage your money, a romantic's just going to look at you and go, what? No, I'm not. And they won't do it because it's not their natural way of doing things. Give them a beautiful planner and a gold pen, maybe, a nice candle or something to get them in the mood, or some music or whatever, and they might then be on
That's
board with
why I
it.
love your planner, because I
There we
like to
go.
have something nice to sit and do it with.
There we go.
I
Exactly.
gave up
So,
on spreadsheets.
yeah. I mean, I think it's important to be aware of what your strength is, and that's where the archetypes come into it. So it's knowing what works best for you, and then going with the flow on that one, as opposed to just trying to do what everybody else is doing. It's a bit like a diet, right? Some diets are going to work for you, other diets are just not.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to get to grips with their money? What would be the first step for them?
Okay, so I think knowing what's going on is the most important thing. So it's about looking at your money objectively and having it all out in the open. And that might mean getting all of your bank account details and actually all the logins to get into them, and finding out what's going on. How many accounts have you got? What have you got in each of them? What are they all doing? Where are all the bills coming out from? Some people might have several bills coming out from different accounts, and actually it might be easier for you just to put them into one so you know where it's all going. But one of the exercises that I get people to do is called the traffic light system. So what you do is you get a bank statement, literally just last month's is fine. Three different color pens. It could be highlighters, could be whatever you want, Sharpies. One's red, one's yellow, one's green. You go through the list and you highlight everything in green of the do not touch. So mortgage, rent, bills, electricity, all that stuff, all the stuff that heats your home, lights your house, puts food on the table, gets you to work. That's all your non-negotiables. Then in the amber section, you do things that you could get rid of temporarily, but would make you a bit miserable if you did it forever. So, that might be your gym membership in favor of being at home. It might be your Netflix in favor of free TV or whatever, whatever it is for you. And then your reds are things that you could absolutely live without. So that might be coffee every day, eating out every day, all these things you could do yourself at home with a couple of tweaks, and to try and make it feel as nice as possible for you, because it's very difficult to go from Pret sandwiches and coffee and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, oh, boring old sandwiches at home. So you have to kind of mix it up and make it fun for yourself. So once you've done all that, then you know what you're doing. And if you've got loads and loads and loads and loads of reds and all this money being taken out, the hole in the wall, and you've got no idea where any of it goes, that's where you start. So it's focusing on those sections and then eliminating what you can. And then the next bit is looking at the bills and making the green section as tight as you possibly can. So if you're one of these people that just lets things roll over and you never, ever, ever check to make sure you're on the right deal, that's something you can do. But it's just picking one area to focus on, and the red area is a good place to start.
That's some great advice. I hope you'll all take heed. I know quite a lot of people that need it, including myself. Who have been your biggest influences in the online space whilst you were growing your blog and online communities?
Oh, so many good people. I mean, you've already mentioned Denise Duffield Thomas, right? So she's absolutely one of my biggest online influences. I adore her. And if you don't know who she is, definitely look her up. She does a lot of stuff around money blocks. So the things that we do subconsciously to ourselves to stop ourselves from making money, or getting out of debt, or whatever it is. And she was the first person that kind of made me see that actually a lot of it might be coming from my upbringing, being influenced by what my parents did, influenced by what friends did, surrounding myself with people that were just spenders. It's all of these things. So it's she's a brilliant influence. So
She's
absolutely recommend
probably
her.
why I ended up doing EFT, becoming an EFT practitioner, because
Ah,
I
there we
think
go.
that's probably the first place I came across it.
Yeah, so she does all of that sort of stuff, doesn't she? All of her sessions, and she's got loads of books. I loved her podcast, and actually the one, I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I chose to just do it in 10 minutes. I mean, I'm a GP, we have 10-minute appointments, so 10 minutes in a podcast just felt like the right thing to do. But actually I realized that her podcast is about 10 minutes, the episodes are about that long as well. And I found it so much easier to sit and listen for 10 minutes than for longer than that. So that was the initial reason why I started it like that. So there's all sorts of things that she's influenced me over. Not to mention the fact that I want to move to Australia and live by the beach.
I wonder why.
One day, goals, dreams, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well,
yeah,
it's so possible. Anybody else?
So let me just try to think of other people that really influenced me. So there's, I mean, I've read loads of people's books and things like that, but Anne Wilson's another one. She is based in South Africa and she teaches similar kind of stuff to me, but a lot of my influence has come from the way that she teaches, because I love her, the way that she just sort of breaks things down and makes it simple for people. But I wanted to kind of make a UK, like, UK influence type one. But I'll never ever forget the amount of inspiration she's given me in order to manage my own money, and literally found her right at the point where I needed her when everything was just terrible. So now I want to live up to her and do similar things to her and you know, spread what she teaches to other people. I mean, obviously I've learned loads more since then, but she was really at the very start of it. So she's got a book called The Wealth Chef, which is also a really good read.
Which leads me into my next question. I was going to ask you if you've got any really good book recommendations that we can start with.
Okay, well, hers is a good one. Another one would be, oh gosh, it's gone out of my head now. I've got them on here. So this one, it's called The Energy of Money. It's my battered up copy of it, because I know you like getting
handbooks. I've just read that. I've just finished really that. Good. It's awesome. It's
really, yeah, it talks about how you... She calls it transmuting, where you've got an idea or a goal or a dream, and how you then translate that into the physical. So you want your own house, but then you come up against all the obstacles, and a lot of it's all subconscious. It's your monkey mind going, oh, it's not safe to try and save, it's not safe to do this, who do you think you are, all this little voice going on in your head, to be able to then go into, you know, go with the flow and actually get the money saved for your house that you want. That's a good one. Another really good one is her name is Vicky Robbins, and it's called the you know, when you've just got it on top of your head and you can't remember it. I think it's called Simple Path to Wealth is a different one. That's by JL Collins, I think. I've got them all on my Audible. So literally, another thing I would recommend is getting an Audible account and literally just downloading all of these things. So JL Collins, The Simple Path to Wealth, he's American, but he talks a lot about investing and actually has some suggestions in there for investing for the UK people as well. So it's not just all for Americans. It's very different in America. So that's a good one. And then the other one would be Your Money or Your Life by Vicky Robin. So she looks at budgeting and how you basically look at what you're doing in your spending. And she talks about how there'll be certain things that you will just keep spending money on. She calls them Gazingas pins. Other people would call them doodads, and that comes from Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. So it's the same concept. There's a shop that you go to that you can't resist buying blank, whatever it is. It might be scarves, it might be watches, it might be cushions for your house, you know, there might be something you just can't resist. I go into Accessorize and I want to buy more earrings. Like, I've just got this thing about the little packets of earrings they've got, and there's about 12 different types, and you just think, oh, I could do with some more, and you end up losing them all anyway. Oh, but that's the sort of thing they say. And she looks at your, like, she says to look at your budget and say, if somebody was to look at your budget from the outside, what would this say about you? Does it say takeaway coffees, takeaways, eating out, whatever, or does it say somebody who's leading a purposeful, mindful life and you're spending it on things you
what
actually
does,
want
to what does crystals and oracle cards say?
Well, I'd say that comes from somebody that absolutely loves it. I know you've got like loads of different cards, haven't you? You've got loads of different packets of them. So
I have, quite like
yeah. I mean, we all do it, we all have our own thing, don't we? And you know, as long as I don't think there's a problem with doing that. As long as you compartmentalize it. So it's a, you know, you've got your fun money that you have every month and you can spend it on what you like. And then it doesn't matter how many crystals you buy with that money, because you know that's come from your fun money. And when you know you've only got this finite resource every month, you look after it and you make sure it's only going towards things that you want. Like, a bit like at the moment, so I'm trying to lose weight. I am losing weight. And I've got a budget for bad food. Like, you know, so the, you know, the peanut butter and chocolate and crisps and oil and all that kind of, all the
That's
stuff.
That's a good idea, yeah.
And literally, once that budget's gone, it's gone. So if something, if I scan something and it's a red food, and that's going to wipe out all of my bad calories for the day, I'm not going to eat it because I want to make sure that I can have a little bit of a few different things with that red money or red calories. You know, so it's the same thing with spending it on fun.
And you won't have to deal with the guilt that you would have after, would you? Whether that's because you spent money you haven't really got, or because you've had something you shouldn't really, you feel exactly. like you shouldn't really have.
Yeah. Exactly. Last night I was desperate for some chocolate. I really wanted some, but I found that a chocolate biscuit fitted into the last amount of red calories I had. So it was great. I woke up in the morning, still lost weight, and felt happy because I got to have a biscuit. So, you know.
Win-win.
Win-win, exactly.
So a bit deeper now. What is the impact that you want to make on the world? Because I can see that you do, and... I just want everyone to know about that.
So I really feel passionate about women's wealth. And for me, I want to live in a world where men and women are equal, and they're equal right from birth. Because at the moment we've got a pension gap that starts right from when you're a child. It does, you know, which is, that's a pension right from children, you know, childhood, because people don't necessarily understand they can start a pension, or perhaps they don't put in as much for girls. And you've already got that gap widening, and it makes it worse when a woman then goes off and have babies, doesn't come back full time, she's part time, she's not putting enough into a pension, all these things. So I want to live in a world where women understand that they've got wealth in their control, so that they can then teach their children that they've got wealth in their control. And it means that we all do well together, as opposed to just the few that do. So that's my mission. That's the impact I want to have.
Then that sounds like an awesome, awesome world that we could be living in. So where can our listeners find you, Nikki?
Okay, so I've got my Facebook group, Women Working Towards Money Freedom. If you, yeah, just type that into Google, but not into Google, into Facebook, and you'll find that one. I've also got my website, thefemalemoneydoctor.com, and that's where you'll find all my blogs, my freebies, anything that I've got in the shop at the time, you know, all these things are on there. And then my podcast, which is the Money Medicine Clinic. So you type that in, you'll find that on Apple and Spotify and Anchor, and there is others that I've never used before, but they're on there as well, apparently. So there we go.
Awesome. So thank you for spending a little while with me and sharing your story, and hopefully inspiring lots of people to come and have a look at what you do and join in.
Thank you very much. Really, really appreciate you having me on and inviting me.
You're welcome. Take care, Nikki.
Thank you.
Bye.
On the 4th of November at 7 p.m, I'll be holding a Coping with Money-Related Stress EFT online group coaching session. This will be in Zoom, but you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. You can book a place on this session by going to @SoulfulValleyCoaching on Facebook and message me. Or if you're on Instagram, you can go and book on my link tree in the bio, and it's the top link on the bio, so you can book straight in there. There aren't many places, so if you want a place, you'll have to book quickly. And on Instagram, you can find me @SoulfulValley.
Thank you for listening to the Soulful Valley podcast. I hope that you've heard something today that makes your life a little lighter. Our aim is to share love, light, and wisdom, and to raise consciousness and ease suffering. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe, rate, and review, and let others know about this podcast if you think they would benefit from listening to it.